Amen. So we've been talking about encountering God over the last number of weeks and the importance of that. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that, but the context is two things. Choices. If you want to encounter God, you've got to choose right. And you've got to choose well. And the thing is, for us as believers, that can be challenging because there's obstacles that come before us. And so quite often what we want to do is go around the choice. In other words, we have a tough choice, right? And we'd rather say, well, you know what? I'm just going to let that go and just kind of go around it. And in a sense, society today kind of dictates that, right? You know, if we have a hard situation, how many times have you been told, it's okay. You know, why don't we just put that on the shelf and we'll just go around that and move forward. Here's the problem. In the kingdom of God, it doesn't work that way. Jesus says if you're faithful with the little, he'll give you more. With the idea that if you accomplish what he asked you to do here, then he moves you on to the next step then, and then the next step and the next step. You know, he doesn't do the little wink and nod thing and say, well, it's okay. I know it was really hard, and I'll give you a pass on this, and now you can move around that and move on to the next thing. God doesn't do that. Now, the greatest way that I can illustrate this to you is from the farm. On our farm, we had a silo. Everyone knows what a silo is, big concrete thing. Okay, so on the one side of it, there was these rungs. They were these steel bars that went through the concrete, and they were spaced about this far apart, but that was the ladder to climb up to the top of the silo, and so we'd have to climb up there to get the feed out and shovel it down. That was back before we didn't... They didn't buy a silo unloader until after I left. I was the silo unloader. So anyway, so to climb it, here's what I had to do. Now, I'm not short, but I'm not tall. But for me to climb it, I literally would have to put my hands on one rung and then take my knee, put it on the one rung, then put my other knee on the rung. Then I could lift my one foot up, put it on that rung, and go up. And that was the only way I could climb because the rungs were so far apart. You need to understand that it's exactly the same way when God gives you and I instructions. You can't skip a rung. There's no possible way, just as in that silo, if there one rung was missing, I'm not going to get to the next one because I need every single rung. You and I need every single step in God directing us. So here's the thing. You might say, well, man, you know, I just haven't heard from Jesus lately. I sense a dryness. I sense that, you know, I'm missing something. Well, guess what? That may be true. So here's what you do. Return back to the last rung you were on, the last place you heard from God, and ask the question, Jesus, did I do what you asked me to do the last time I met with you? Or did I stop doing the thing that you asked me to stop the last time I met with you? You know, whatever it might be. And here's the thing. If you can't answer a definitive yes, then maybe you just haven't done that yet. And you're waiting to hear God say, well, it's okay. We'll just go around this and move on to the next. You're never going to hear that from Jesus. Because you've got to deal with one step builds on another step, builds on another step. And so I can't encourage you enough. If you sense you're in a dry place, stop blaming God. Stop blaming your circumstances. Stop blaming everything around you and take responsibility and ask the question, am I accomplishing what God last time he told me? And you might say, well, he hasn't ever spoken to me. Please. He speaks every day through this. Now, you may not have heard an audible word. You might not have heard, you know, thus saith the Lord, but here's the thing. God's word speaks to us and gives us general instructions. Are we following just his general instructions of just loving the world around us? And here's the thing. You know what the greatest hindrance to hearing God is? Bitterness. In other words, if you've got an attitude, it will cloud your ability to hear from God. And so I encourage you, if that's happening in your life, maybe some things have gone sideways. How many people had stuff go sideways in their lives? Yeah, my hands are... Lots of times, right? Things you think, hey, it should go this way, and it goes in the opposite direction. You're like, what happened there? So the thing is, you can either say, that's going to hinder me and wound me, or you say, well, yeah, that happened. Lord, what do I do now? And let me tell you something. He is there to help you. Amen? And so what I want to do now is look at a man. And the subtitle is Choosing Which Side You Were On. But again, it's connected to decisions. And we're going to look at the life of a man in the Old Testament. His name is Joshua. Interesting what his name means. It means, Joshua means the Lord saves, or the Lord is salvation. And so he is a great example for you and I of our lives today. So here's what we're going to do. We're actually only looking at scriptures concerning Joshua. We're going to look at four different spots in the Bible about Joshua and have kind of a Kodak moment at each one of those spots, because I believe that what he went through, that we still deal with the same things today spiritually. And I think God's going to speak to you and I. So I had a great time at the first service. Nobody died. Nobody fell asleep. So, you know, let's just have another good service. Amen? And so here's where we're going to start, in Numbers chapter 13. Now, just to give you a little background, the children of Israel had left Egypt, okay? They're in the wilderness, okay? This is like their first year. They've gone, they've gotten the Ten Commandments, they've heard from God, they've met with him, different things are happening. They murmured, you know, God gave them food, you know, they didn't have enough water, they murmured, God gave them water. So they're moving along. They get to the edge of the promised land, and Moses sends 12 spies to check it out. So one from each tribe. From each of the 12 tribes, all right, sends them in. And he says, go spy out the land, you know, see what's there, you know, and then come back, give us a report, all right? And so that is what's happened. So Joshua is one of the 12 spies, all right? So let's just read this. This account now, this is the 10 spies, their account, all right, when they've gotten back. Numbers 13, verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land, though which we have gone as spies, is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. So you've got 10 of the spies. This is the report they bring back to Moses and all the people, basically saying, look, they're too strong for us. They're too great for us. There is no way we can overcome them. And then two people, we're not going to read this, but as we go on, Caleb and Joshua stand up and say, what's the big deal? I'm paraphrasing, but what's the big deal? If God is for us, who can be against us? We are more than able to conquer. And so here's the problem. The 10 spread rumors among all the children of Israel, and they actually talk about stoning Moses and heading back to Egypt. God shows up. His glory shows up. Can you imagine? Shows up, and God then speaks, and he says, look, because you're unwilling to believe me, then all of those who did not believe, that generation is going to pass away before the next generation can enter into the promised land. And literally, that's what happened. So for the next 38 years, they wander around in the wilderness because of their unbelief until that generation all dies away. Now, what's cool about it, Joshua and Caleb stayed alive, and they get to go into the promised land. Now, let's stop for a minute. Imagine you're Joshua. You do what you're supposed to do. You go into the promised land, right? You spy it out. You come back with the good report, with the God's view of it, and yet the other people's voices prevail. Some of you are in that situation right now, or you have been in the past, where you saw God's plan, you believed God's plan, but the people around you couldn't. And as a result of their decision, now you have been hindered from entering into what God had for you. Now, can that cause some bitterness? Can that cause some resentment? Can that cause some frustration? Let me tell you something. I'm sure it would. But I want to say to you that we never saw that displayed with Joshua ever. He patiently waited for 38 years. He's wandering around with the rest of the people till that generation dies off. And then here's what God does. He brings them back to the same place again. You know what I've learned about the Lord? That when you mess up once, God will bring you back around again. I love God that way. He's the God of second chances, the God of third chances, the God of fourth chances. But here's the thing. Some of you are dealing with family circumstances, job circumstances, where people made decisions beyond your ability to control them, but then it affected and impacted your life. You know, I could tell lots of stories like that, and I'm sure all of you have stories like that. Here's the thing. Are you willing to not let their bad choices affect your connection to God? See, that's on you. That's not on them. Let's face it. All of us at different points in our lives have some idiots around us. Don't look at your husband or wife, okay? You, but But you get what I'm saying. You got people who do idiotic things, right? And it impacts your life. And so you have to decide, I am not going to let that change or sour my relationship with the Lord. Here's what you need to know. They did whatever they did or didn't do whatever they did. God knew that would happen. And God still has a plan for your life if you're willing to place yourself into his hands. See, that's the key to this whole thing. You've got to trust him no matter what, because God knows. Now, do you believe that God knows? Or are you still that immature Christian that's still trying to manipulate circumstances so that you can make things happen? It doesn't work that way, but we need to trust him. So that's our first snapshot, the first time we actually see, in a sense, Joshua speaking. Now, he'd been serving Moses as his assistant for quite some time already, you know, getting military victories and that. And he carries on doing that for 38 years. So now the next picture is they get to the edge of the promised land. So it's now round two for an opportunity to cross over. And so what Joshua does, he nominates two people to go into the promised land to check it out. Now, I wonder whether there was any connection to the last time. Last time it was 12, 10 brought a bad report, 2 good, and maybe said, you know what, I'm just going to send 2 so we get a good report. So anyway, sends in, they come back, and so we're going to pick up right here with that, all right? And so Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, we're going to 9 verses, and this is God speaking, okay? After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them. The children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now you got a picture. Almost 40 years has gone by. So Joshua now, he's the head. He's the boss, right? And he's at the same spot that he was almost 40 years before. Now that didn't go very well, did it? The last time didn't go well. So could you imagine him being maybe a little fearful, a little concerned about what's going to happen? In fact, so much so that God 3 times has to say to him, be strong and courageous. In other words, it's not going to be easy. I want to tell you something, that your promised land is not going to be easy to conquer. And you might say, well, won't God make a way? Yeah, he'll make a way as you take a step forward. But that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. God's promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, but that doesn't mean that he's just going to do it all for you. In fact, God made it very clear he wouldn't. He said that elsewhere in Scripture, he said, if I got rid of all the inhabitants way beforehand, the land would go into disarray. It would go wild again. And so literally, as the children of Israel were to move forward, it was to push out the enemy inhabitants. And that's how it was designed. God knew that. And so here's the thing, it's the same for you. You've got to realize that God's promises are yes and amen, but it's going to require some effort on your part. It's going to require faith and trust in him. It's going to require you to be courageous and strong. That's why many Christians never enter their promises, because they give up at the edge rather than pushing through. How many people want to push through? All right, guess what? You've signed up for a tough road, but I'll tell you something, it's an awesome road. Because everywhere where they went, we're not going to read about this, everywhere where they went, when they followed God's direction, God empowered them and helped them to get the victory every single time. time. God was faithful. Now listen, if you're at the edge of your promise right now, maybe God's spoken to you something years ago, and you're like, hey, you know, I'm believing for this. I really am. Here's the thing. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9 is the recipe of how you can inherit those promises. One of them, God says to Joshua, look, you need to meditate on my word day and night. In other words, the idea is that you need to be continually consuming the word of God. That needs to be like grassroots foundation stuff, right? You know, in other places, it talks about, you know, you've got to take a step forward. It says this, that every step where the sole of your foot lands will be yours. You know what that tells me? It means that you and I are a part of the equation. It's not that God's just going to do it and we're just going to walk in after. But literally he's saying, Joshua, you take a step of faith and I'll be right with you. And it's the same for you and I. And if you're watching circumstances, you will never take the step of faith. You'll never take the step of faith. I remember when Sandra and I were moving from Canada to the United States, every circumstance possible was against us. Every circumstance, I could get into all the details. It was impossible in the natural. And I remember going to prayer and saying, God, you know, I don't think I can do this. He said, no, you can't. I said, well, okay, then do I just stop? He said, no, I can do it with you. And I realized then that I was in lockstep with him, and that as I took the steps of faith I needed to, God would fulfill his part of the promise. And it's the same for you and I. Sometimes we lack the faith to even take the step, and God is waiting. And here's the thing. So many times we're waiting on him. We're like, well, God, when are you going to do this? When are you going to do this? And he's saying, I did it already. Now take the step. And so we have to do our part to see God's promises happen in our lives. And Joshua was realizing this at this point. So this is an amazing, again, the recipe here is for us today. You can look through it and read it. I'd encourage you to look at it in your own time and study it and see how God prepared Joshua for his promises, because the principles don't change. They're the same for you and I today. But I don't want to get into all that today. It was really more just to show you, hey, here's where Joshua was, that as he remained faithful, though it took 38 years. Now, I pray that if somebody screwed something up in your life, you don't got to wait 38 years for the promise. I do pray that, all right? But I do promise you this, that God hasn't forgotten you. And that in the right time, at the right moment, his will be fulfilled in your life. Amen? Okay, so let's move on now. Joshua is at the edge, so he does what? He takes a step of faith. So let's pick up in Joshua chapter 5, a couple of verses. Joshua chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. And here's what it says. And it came to pass, so a little more time has gone by, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. I want to take a couple minutes and just look at this. First of all, some time has passed, and so a little bit, sometimes we read the Bible and we're like, everything just happens like that. Here's the thing. Maybe days, weeks, a few months have gone by. You know, Joshua is still working out how to conquer the land. So he actually crosses over and he goes to the first town. It's a walled city by the name of Jericho. This place was no little place. In fact, historians of the day say that the walls were so wide, they used to have chariot races around the top of it. So we're talking 30, 40, maybe 50 feet across so they could run chariots around it. That's serious walls. They're not coming down easy, right? And we didn't read this, but it says that it was tight. In other words, everything was sealed up. Everyone was in there. They had all their supplies. They could hunker down for years, literally. And why? Because they were ready. They knew that Joshua and all the children of Israel were there. Some 600,000 men armed for battle were part of the Israel. Can you imagine that? 600,000 men. They're ready to fight. And yet this city, so this is the first city they come to, the first city they have to conquer. And what is Joshua doing there? He's there by himself. He doesn't bring the 600,000 soldiers with him. And why is he there? Well, the Bible says that he looked up and saw this person. Well, what does that mean? Let me tell you what he's doing. He's praying. He's praying. He's like, God, what do I do? This is the first walled city. Unless we get this place, we can't move beyond this to go deeper into the land. So he's praying. He's seeking God, right? You got a problem in your life? You know what you do first? Pray. Pray. Don't try to fix it yourselves. How many people have tried that and it gets worse? Don't do that. Pray first, all right? And so there he is, he's praying. And this person shows up with his sword out. Do you know what Joshua does? Because it says Joshua went towards him. I can tell you right now, Joshua pulls his sword out too. And he goes up to this person, that's because that's what he thinks it is, right? And he says, hey, are you for them or are you for us? I love the answer. No. Well, that's not an answer. No, but as the commander of the Lord's army, I've come. And the Bible says that Joshua hits the deck and worships him. So this is known, for those of you that maybe don't know, this is called a pre-incarnate Christ encounter. Now, what does that mean? Well, a lot of people think that when baby Jesus came, that's the first time Jesus existed. Okay, that's not true. It's the first time he existed as a baby and coming in the form of a person. But Jesus has always existed. The Trinity has always existed. You can go back to the book of Genesis. Both the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are there, and we see them very clearly, all right? And why can I say this with absolute certainty? Because Joshua worshipped. In any other place in the Bible where an angel shows up, both Old and New Testament, if it was just an angel, the angel would say, hey, don't worship me, worship God alone. But he never said that here. And so this is Jesus showing up. And again, you go to the book of Revelation, and I'm just giving you some background, and you see that Jesus is called the commander of the hosts of the army of heaven. All right, literally describing the same type of descriptive words as this person here. So this is Jesus shows up, all right? And his answer, though, is important. He says, no, meaning I am not for either side. See, here's what Joshua is really saying. He's saying, are you supporting the other team or my team? And it's interesting, you would think that Jesus would say, well, of course I'm for you, Israelites. Of course I'm for you. I brought you out of Egypt. I did all this for you. You know, but he doesn't. He just says no. Let me tell you something. This is something that you and I need to get down into our spirit. Because a lot of times when we go and pray to Jesus, here's what we do. Lord, you know, you are awesome. You know, we start out with all the niceties, right? You know, you're nice and you're awesome. And then we get down to the nitty-gritty. Well, Lord, look, I got this situation. Here's what I want you to do. I need you to do this and this and this. Oh, yeah, and that person, just get rid of them, please. And can we do this and do this? So in other words, here's what we come with our laundry list of what we want him to do. Now, here is literally, that's Joshua's thinking. He's thinking, well, of course God's for me. His glory shows up. You know, it's there as a cloud, you know, during the day. And at night, it's a pillar of fire. Of course he's for me. And yet, when you look at this, the Lord is saying, I'm not for you or against you. I've come as God. And that's something we need to get down into our spirits, is that God is not siding with us. We need to side with him. You get what I mean? So in other words, it's not really our deal to bring our plans and say, Lord, I want you to do it my way. It's okay to bring plans to him, but you need to let him unpack it and decide what is good and what isn't. So that's literally what's happening here. He's reminding Joshua, it's not about picking a side. It's about following him. And then the Lord says what? Take off your sandals. This is holy ground. Isn't that the same language that in Exodus 3 concerning Moses and the burning bush? Exactly the same language. And so you could take it a couple different ways or you could take it together. It could be, first of all, that, listen, Joshua, you're a servant. Take your shoes off. Because servants in that day were barefoot. Okay, that's how it was. Servants and slaves, barefoot. So you could take it that way. The idea of, hey, you need to know who you are. You need to know who I am. Take your shoes off. But I want to take it a step further. I think it also means something far more. What are shoes for? They're to protect your feet, right? The idea is to protect them from, you know, rocks getting caught in them or dirty ground or, you know, whatever, thorns, all that. And so literally, the Lord is saying, this is holy ground. This is sacred ground. This is a safe place. You can take your shoes off and you can be connected to me without anything between me and you. And I'd like to say that that's just as important as the attitude of servanthood. In other words, that when you come to the Lord, you can come open-hearted to him with nothing, quote, protecting you. No shields, so to speak. And so I believe that speaks both ways for Joshua here. And Lord goes on and gives some instructions to Joshua how to conquer Jericho. How many people heard, you know, the Jericho march? They go around seven times, you know, and the eighth time go around. And I can't believe how many people I know, when they're buying property or whatever, do Jericho marches. My God. That's what God told Joshua to do. Find out what God's telling you to do. Don't get into this thing, well, I'll just do that, and because I'm doing that, God will honor it. Remember what God just said to Joshua? I'm not for either side, but you need to do me. You need to follow me. You need to put your eyes on me. So if I hear of anybody doing a Jericho march, I'm going to come and have a chat with you. Just saying. You need to find out what God's calling. And it may be something as crazy as that. You know what I'm saying? But you need to follow the direction he gives you. All right? Anyways, okay. So he's there. And the fundamental truth is this, that he is the leader and we're not. So even Joshua, in his position of power, understood that he wasn't able to overcome the obstacle on his own. There are obstacles in your lives and in my life that we cannot overcome on our own. We need the direction of Jesus to do it. Okay. So as we move on to our last Kodak moment, years have gone by now. Everything that God told Joshua that would happen, happened. Joshua is obedient. The land gets conquered. Amazing miracles happen all through the entire event. So Joshua now, we're going to look at just one verse. It's at the very end of his life. It's in Joshua 24, verse 15. And so here it is. He's talking to the people. It's kind of like his farewell speech. And so here's what he says to the people. Joshua 24, verse 15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so just look at that. There are actually three choices here. And this is what I want to talk to you about in closing now. So he says, choose for yourselves this day, okay, the gods of your ancestors. In other words, when you were in Egypt, back in the past, are you going to serve those gods? Are you going to idolize those things as important in your life? Are you going to do that? Or what about the gods that are around you today still? Because that's literally what he's saying. The gods that were in the land, are you going to just do what everyone else is around you as priority in your life? Or, number three choice, are you going to follow God himself? And that's literally what Joshua says. I believe he learned a lesson outside of Jericho, didn't he? On the direction that he was to go. So how does this boil down to you and I today? How many people know that we're living in some rough times? Yeah. In fact, right now, U.S. citizens, there are more countries today that they say you shouldn't go to than has ever been in all of history. That's crazy. That's crazy. There's wars going on, Ukraine-Russia war. You've got the Palestinian conflict going on, you know, Israel. You've got Nigeria, crazy stuff happening there. You got Congo, which is an ongoing thing, which is going there. You've got stuff going on. You've got Mexico, just a little ways away. You've got crazy everywhere. And listen to me, if I sat down and talked to each and every one of you about all those different circumstances, you'd have all kinds of different opinions. All of you would. Now, who's right and who's wrong? I think all of you would say, I'm right, right? You know, that because, you know, if we didn't believe it, we wouldn't say it, right? We'd say, here's my opinion, I believe I'm right. How many people believe that how they think is right? Anybody? I got about four honest people. Listen, you should all put up your hands, because if you didn't really believe it was true, you wouldn't think it. So you obviously think you're right. So how do we as Christians navigate this? And I want to look at how Joshua navigated it. Because basically Joshua comes to the Lord and says, are you for them or for me? Are you a Republican or are you a Democrat, Jesus? Right? Or are you of the I don't care group who've given up on politics? You know, Lord, are you a masker or a non-masker? You know, a vaxxer or non-vaxxer? You know, Lord, are you for what Israel did when they went in and they're doing the things that they do? Are you for this or for that? And so here's the thing. You know, are you for them or for that? So how do we navigate this? How do we as believers, how are we supposed to navigate life and still be on, quote, God's side? Well, here's the thing. We shouldn't choose left or right. Just like God told Joshua, it's not about that. We actually have a third position. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. This is so, so important because we all have strong opinions. Does anyone here have strong opinions about some of the stuff going on? Yeah. Both my hands are up. I have strong opinions. Now, I'm very careful publicly of what I say concerning that. Do you know why? Because if I gave my opinion about something, half of you would hate me and X me off your following, just like that, because you don't agree. So you might say, well, Pastor Carl, you're not really strong then. You really need to tell people what you think about this and what that. And the thing is, here's the thing. I get calls or emails or texts daily telling me what I should talk about and shouldn't talk about. From both sides, from all sides. I get it all the time. Now, for those of you that know me enough, you know I'm a strongly opinionated person. In other words, what I think is what I believe, and I believe I'm right. But I have no right to put that on anybody. And you might say, well, what? Aren't you a shepherd? Aren't you supposed to lead us? Yeah, I am. And I respect people with strong opinions. You should have strong opinions based on facts, all right? Not just, I don't want you to be a loud box making noise. You need to have it based on something, okay? But if you've thought it through and you have a strong opinion about something, and even if I don't agree with it, and you can map it out, say, this is why I believe this, because of this and this and this, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And we might have a deeper conversation, maybe or not, but here's the thing. How do you and I, as we're interacting with society, deal with this? Because this is an issue that we're dealing with. And I want to tell you, Joshua has the answer. What God said to him is the answer. We need to do the third choice, not to pick one side or the other, even though we may have a personal opinion about it, but that's not what we're talking to our neighbor about. Because what has God called you and I to do? To share the good news of the gospel. Now, the minute we polarize ourselves by saying, I believe this or I believe that, and the rest of you guys can all just go to wherever, because that's what people write online. I've seen some of your stuff, okay? And that's kind of what you say. You've cut off half your audience. Gone. Poof. Never to see them again. Is that what Jesus would do? Here's Jesus living in a time that was occupied. Israel was occupied by Romans. Talk about, the worst of the worst. He never spoke against the Romans once. He just loved on them. Loved on them. Because he knew what was going to happen in the end. Romans would go in the end. He knew it all would work out because he had the bigger plan in mind. You and I need to have the bigger plan in mind. So how can I help you understand what I'm saying? So I'm going to tell you what helped me. I was praying about this years ago, maybe 10 years ago. And I'm like, God, how do I navigate this? Because I believe this and this and this, and I believe I'm right, and I see people doing other things, and I think they're wrong. And the Lord said, is that your problem or mine? And I said, well, I guess it's yours, really. So here's what he showed me. So if you've never heard me talk about this, I hope it helps you. So when you have a war between two countries, you have two armies, right? Got the armies, they're paid, they're supported by the government to fight against one another, and they're doing their thing, right? And in fact, for us as Americans, we often side with the American side. So let's just say we're doing that, right? And so often our opinions are slanted in that direction, which I understand. But what's our position spiritually to be? Because we want to be in the fight. In other words, we want to make a difference. Don't you want to make a difference in this world? So that's why we often pick a side, because we want to make a difference. I'm here to suggest to you, that's not your job or my job. Our job is the third option, to pick the third option. So how does that work? How can we be in the fight and yet not be on one side or the other? Here's how we do it. We join the medic corps. We join the Red Cross. Now, what's the Red Cross's job? They're to bring aid to anyone that's injured, right? And in fact, it doesn't matter what uniform that they have on. The idea is if you're in there's people laying there that are wounded, you come up to the first one, you treat them, you go up to the next one, you treat them. It doesn't matter what uniform they've got on, but you are ministering to them to bring healing to their physical body. And let me tell you something, that's your position and mine spiritually in this world. We're medics for Jesus to bring the message of hope and forgiveness and acceptance, the good news of the gospel, to whoever comes along. So when you're at work and someone comes along and they're talking about the politics of this and that and you know, going one way or the other, and say, man, yeah, I understand the frustration with that. I get it. How about we take a minute and just pray for those that are caught in the crossfire, the innocent people, especially if it's a believer, right? You pull them back into the focus of what we're really called to do, and that's to love on Jesus and love on people. That's what we're called to do. As much as we want to, we don't have a right to give other people our opinion. You are called as citizens of heaven to represent Jesus. And that's what Joshua got an earful when he heard the word, no, I'm not for you. That was telling Joshua that we need to be for him, for God. Now, this is tough. See, I'm not hearing any rah, 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 because here's why. When you go to a church that's polarized one direction or another, man, it becomes a political rally. People are screaming, yes, yes, yes. But here's the thing. I'm taking the middle ground where people hate me on both sides. Some people here that are strongly Republican, you're like, no, that's not right. Jesus would be a Republican. And the Democrats are saying the same thing. You get what I'm saying? So the thing is, I'm bringing you to the middle and saying, I am not siding with either side. I'm siding with Jesus. So now, here's the cool thing. I can talk to Republicans. I can talk to Democrats. I can talk to the I don't care people. I can talk to the maskers, the unmaskers, the, you know, whatever, because I don't care about that as much as I care about them knowing Jesus. So what do you care about most? To get your opinion across, which, by the way, when you put it online, it really doesn't change anybody's mind anyways, just so you know, or to be a light for Jesus. And so I encourage you, as you begin to start your week on Monday, to pray and say, Lord, I know you're not going to be part of my agenda, but I want to be part of yours. Amen. Let's stand up. Let's pray. Close. Father, I thank you that we have a third choice. And for some of us here, they never thought about it that way, never even considered it. And so, Lord, I pray that even though we may be strong in our political, you know, leanings, strong about different other opinions about different things, that, Lord, there's nothing wrong with that. It's good to be informed and to have an understanding. But that, Lord, we don't see that as a priority over you, that we have the third choice. And so when we're having a conversation with someone, and instead of it turning into a political debate, that it turns into a, here's Jesus, to show Jesus to those individuals. For Lord God, that's what you've called us to do. You've called us to be medics in this war-torn world. And so, Lord, I know that you said that in the end times there'd be wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilences. You said all this would happen, and then the end will eventually come. But Lord God, until that end comes, you've called us to serve you in this war-torn world. So I pray that we be the best medics possible. And Lord, I don't think it's any accident that the medics have a cross, a red cross on their sleeve or on their hats, Lord God. And for us, I know it represents something different for them, but for us, it represents the cross, represents Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that we go representing you as citizens of heaven in all the world, to our families, our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, our families, wherever we go, that we choose the third option as a priority. So, Lord, bless each one as they maybe make that transition on the inside. For at first, it's going to be really uncomfortable. But as they begin to flow and are directed by your Holy Spirit, it's going to be amazing. So bless them as they serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this morning.